We're talking about God's grace today, and Susan Putt sent me a little funny yesterday. She said that she, you know what Alexa is, right? Like those little devices that we have that we can tell them to make our grocery lists and things like that. So Susan said she told Alexa to put on her grocery list grapes, and Alexa replied, "Grace?" Yeah, Alexa wanted to put grace on her grocery list. So there you go. Today we're talking about grace. We're starting our series on finding our way in the United Methodist tradition. And this message today that you'll hear in a few minutes lays the foundation for the next three, because we're going to be talking about who we are as United Methodists. So if you're following along in your worship guide, we're already on page 43, and today's is going to be a message that will be conducive to note-taking. So even if you don't have your guide, you might want to make some other notes. It's a teaching kind of sermon today, because we're talking about education today, celebrating Christian education. So as you hear the scriptures today, listen for the references to God's grace in the two letters of Paul, little fragments of the letters of Paul that we're going to hear today. And think about what it says about grace as a gift. We're going to begin with the passage from Ephesians, or Romans.
The first scripture reading today is from Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. Righteousness through faith. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and it attested to the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all who believe, for there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by this grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
And now these words from Ephesians in the second chapter. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. We breathe, O God, and give thanks for life and breath, all of which you pour around us and in us, upon us. Open our hearts this day to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, doesn't this look like a pretty gift? Look at this. Would you like this gift? Would you like this gift? Would you like to see what's in here? What's in this? When was the last time you received a gift? Would you like this one, maybe? It's not enough for everyone. Isn't it a great gift? When was the last time you received a gift? What did you do with it? A gift that was freely given to you. Well, you don't just hold on to it, do you? You open it, right? You open the gift. If you get a gift, you open it. And then you do something with it, right? You use it. You make use of it. Look what's in here. A little angel that holds a little prayer card is right in here. And I've used her many times. I've had her hold a prayer card here for me many times. So you know before anybody else what's in this gift. Think about when you get a gift and you open it and you use it, it can change you. and it can change those you meet and those you serve. It's true with many things. If you got a tool, if you got jewelry, if you got a new toy, it can change you as you learn and use it. Well, this is a bit of what God's grace is like. A free gift of God's love. That's the definition of grace. John Wesley defined grace as God's bounty or favor, his free, undeserved favor. And our Book of Discipline of the United Methodist Church says grace is the undeserved, unmerited, and loving action of God that pervades all of existence, human and all creation. I'm going to stop here for just a moment and talk about John Wesley, who we think of as the founder of our Methodist tradition. So Wesley was born on June 28, 1703 in Epworth in England. He lived 87 years throughout that century. He died in 1791. He was the 15th child of Susanna and Samuel Wesley. Nine of the 19 children that Susanna bore, lived beyond infancy. And John is known as the founder of Methodism. He was educated at Oxford. And he was ordained a priest in the Church of England in 1728. And as he became a priest, there's things that he noticed. He noticed that really the church, he felt, existed for itself and not for others, and not really even to help people grow in their faith. So along with his brother Charles, they formed a holy club. It was a society with Charles and John and some of their friends, and they met together to pray and to examine their lives and to study the Bible and to meet together and to talk about how God was working in their lives. And this was called a holy club, but other students began to call them Methodists in a derogatory kind of way. Oh, those Methodists. They had a method to what they were doing. In addition to meeting together to work on their faith, they took food to poor families. They visited lonely people in prison, and they taught orphans how to read. They celebrated Holy Communion together regularly and studied together. They lived out the two arms of a cross that John Wesley later talked and wrote about. He said, "This arm of the cross is about our relationship with God, working on our spiritual life, growing in our faith. And this arm of the cross is about extending that faith into the world. And we couldn't have one without the other if we were going to be truly faithful Christians according to what Wesley believed." Well, now let's return to grace and to the gift of God's love. Because at the heart of who we are as United Methodists is that God offers us this free gift of abundant love. It's the grounding of who we are, and it's based on Ephesians chapter 2 and so much more. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now, this is the grounding of our United Methodist tradition, in contrast to some traditions that begin with you as a deep sinner, full of ugliness and grime, and you have to do something to get yourself out of that by works or other things. For Wesley, Jesus already did the saving and offers God's love to us. It isn't that we don't sin or don't need to change, but it's where we begin with the grace of God, with an understanding that we are loved and cherished by God, and always need to turn toward God and grow deeper into God through our faith and how we live our lives. In the Scripture Way of Salvation, which Wesley wrote, Wesley describes three movements or expressions of God's grace to help us understand how to live fully in response to what God has done for us. And now I'm going to tell you a story about a woman named Grace and about this gift of grace. When I met Grace many years ago, toward the beginning of my ministry, when I met Grace, she was well into her 90s. Her hair was steely gray, and she was small and wiry, although she was confined to a wheelchair by then. On my visits with her, the story of her life unfolded. She grew up in an orphanage that was run by very strict religious people who, when she didn't toe the line, she was struck or scolded. And she learned that God's love was something you earned by being good, but you could never be quite good enough. She told me this story as we met over time. She was set loose from the orphanage in her late teens, and she lived a difficult life on the street for a while. But then she went to work in a sewing shop, where she also lived in a little room. The people who ran the sewing shop came to love Grace. She said this was the first time she knew kindness and love. After some time, the people invited Grace to go to church with them. She would talk endlessly about the soothing hymns and prayers, and she once said to me, When I went to this church, it was as if God had been looking for me and finally found me. Grace was given the gift of God's grace. Here you are. Here you are. A beloved child of God. Nothing in your past keeps you from that. God says, I've been looking for you all your life. Here's my love. I've been looking for you all your life. Here's my love. John Wesley called this movement of God's grace prevenient grace. The love of God that goes before our knowing it, previous to our knowing. Here's the gift handed to us, around us, surrounding us in people and in creation, in God's Spirit, in and around us. My friend Grace was given it in the love of people who hired and housed her, and in the church to which they took her, in hymns and prayers. Here it is, God's love. Here it is. Here's the gift. That wasn't the end of the story for Grace, though, being offered this gift of God's love, because there was more. Here, take the gift and open it. Open the gift. We need to receive the gift of God's love and start to let it become part of us. John Wesley called this movement of God's grace justifying grace. When things begin to come into alignment with God, justifying grace is the assurance that we have of forgiveness. Justifying grace happens when we turn toward God's gracious gift of new life. It's being reconciled. You remember in the old days when we had to push on our computers the justify button in order to get things to line up on both sides of the paper? It happens automatically now, but we used to have to push that button. And accepting God's grace for ourselves is like pushing that button and coming into alignment with the love of God known to us in Jesus Christ. John Wesley described this in his Aldersgate experience in 1738. He said about a quarter to nine after he, the leader, was describing the change which God works in the hearts through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. That's how Wesley describes his experience of being assured of God's grace. My friend Grace, in her story, as she heard the news of God's love, she began to make a commitment to follow Jesus. She started to learn. She worshiped. And she talked about the first time that she took Holy Communion in a place where the table was open, Christ's table. And the pastor said, "Come up and receive the gift of God's grace." And she said, "With trembling feet, I walked to the front of the sanctuary, and I took the bread and the cup, and I felt like this was another new beginning for me." She talked about feeling this new beginning, about receiving God's love and being changed by it. She said, "It's like things began to come into line for me. One movement of God's grace is prevenient, God's love that is in all around us and seeks to draw us to God, to go before us. The gift is offered. Another movement of God's grace is when we accept the gift and begin to open it. Wow, God's love is for me, even me. Something new begins in us. This can happen again and again in our lives, not just once. And there is yet one more movement of grace. Think about a gift that you've received, a gift offered to you. Maybe it's a new toy. Maybe it's a piece of jewelry or a tool. You receive it, you open it, and then we use it. We let it affect or change us and how we do things. John Wesley called this third movement of God's grace sanctifying grace. Us letting God work in us to change our lives, to draw us closer to God, and to work with God in the world to restore all creation to God. When Wesley wrote about this, he said, "If prevenient grace is the porch of the house of grace, and justifying grace is the doorway, sanctifying grace represents the rooms in an expansive dwelling of God's presence with and for humanity." Wesley affirmed that God seeks nothing less than the full restoration of all God's creation. Well, how does this really work? Later, my friend Grace married John, and they had two boys. Life wasn't always easy for them. Grace went through periods of depression, and she had to struggle to return to a full life. They struggled financially sometimes. Grace and John took their family to the Methodist Church, where those soothing hymns continued to pour God's love into their lives, and people helped them through their difficult times. And Grace let God do that. Through all the times and seasons of her life, she used the gift of God that God had given her to grow in her own faith and to live God's love in the world. Grace did sewing for people in the church and in their town. Through the ups and downs of her life, she tried to grow deeper in her faith through worship and prayer and singing, and yes, through serving God in the world. I want to share with you a resource that lifts up what I've just been talking about. We're going to leave this up here for a minute in case you want to write this down and look this up for yourself. This will lead you to an article that describes a lot of what I've been talking about these three movements of God's grace, and will help you with this understanding as we move forward this month in talking about who we are as United Methodists. So, these three movements of God's grace, God's abundant love offered to us and all creation as a gift. First, prevenient, God's grace going before us, here's the gift. justifying grace, receiving God's love and being changed. Receive the gift and open it. Let God work in you by God's Holy Spirit. And sanctifying grace, love working in us, using the gift of love given to us. The gift we have received leads us to serve God in the world, the two arms of the cross. How are you this day receiving the gift of God's abundant love offered to you? God offers this to you this day, to each and every one of you. How are you using it to be restored and to help restore God's people? This is at the heart of who we are as Methodist people. By grace, you have been saved by faith. It is a gift of God, not of works. On my visits with my friend Grace, I often thought, she has the right name. God's grace, abundant and undeserved love, sought and found my friend Grace, and she gave it back to others, even to me, in sharing her story when she was well in her 90s. Grace lived to be over 103. I'm quite sure she lived to be 103. And I'm quite confident that she continued to share the grace of God all the way till her end in this life. Thanks be to God. Amen.